is not proud. Love does not boast. Love, after all, matters the most. Love does not run. Love does not hide. Love does not keep locked inside. Love is a river that flows through, and love never fails you. Love will sustain, love will provide, love will not cease at the end of time. Love always hopes, and love still believes when you don't. Love is the arms that are holding you. Love never fails.
Amen and amen. So I'm trying something there to see if the slash command would work, because the Discord made an announcement today. They're fixing to change all the command functions of all the bots that everybody on Discord is using. We're going to have to start using what we call slash commands. Wow. Talking about reprogramming everything that you program to do, not just me and server owners, but everybody who develops bots going to have to rewrite all their coding. Leave it to someone who wants to change up everything when currently stuff is working, but people want to get lazy and just use simple slash commands. Sounds good enough on paper, but it's a nightmare and a logistics nightmare for developers. Anyway, it's Friday night. Y'all know exactly what this means. You know, like we were just talking, Dot, she showed up. And it's been a while since we've seen her, and we've been praying consistently for her. And, you know, and I was kind of praying that God, you know what, you know, reach out to that sister, you know, let her know that you still love her. And, you know, and things is going to be okay. We do go through rough patches. We do have battles. We do have fights. You know, Dot, you're not alone in this battle. Even us seasoned veterans, we deal with it. We have hard times. Like I told you earlier in the main chat room, when all this internet issue was going on here and basically shut this thing down, it was to the point I was about ready to quit and throw in the towel and just go on live and do what I wanted to do. But like I said, though, but we can't quit. You know, we want to. We have difficulties. Whew, do we have difficulties? And a lot of my messages lately, you know, it's been hitting on basically what we've been dealing with. But, you know, the one I spoke to you last week about, you know, at times we may feel like, you know, we don't deserve it. There may be times we feel like we're not even loved. It may be feel like, you know, at times God does not want nothing to do with us. And sometimes we may feel the same way, like, you know, I feel so bad in what I've done. God, I can't come to you. But while we was talking, Dot, you know, I don't know if you ever seen the series yet, but I got the DVD sets of both of them called The Chosen. And there's a scene illustration in there. I love to use this in my sermons. And it's a good, valid point. Because, see, you know, folks, what we have in the gospel is just what we need to hear and see and read. But can you imagine for 3 years that when those disciples were with Jesus, hour after hour after hour, minute by minute by minute, everything that Jesus did, they saw more than what we know. You know, I would love to, you know, really see his whole life, the whole 3 years. But anyway, this is how God demonstrates his love. And in the scene in The Chosen, it was Mary Magdalene. We know she had seven demons. You know, we all got demons in our lives, and the demons get cast out, but sometimes those demons come back at us, and we slip and mess up and everything else. Well, Mary Magdalene, she had all those demons cast out. She was devoutly following Jesus, you know, true and through, hardcore. Then one day she had an encounter. She slipped. She left the group, went back to her old sinful lifestyles and her old ways. But yet, you know, when the group started to notice that Mary's gone, Jesus told, you know, Matthew and Peter, go find her and bring her back. And they did, and they found her in the town. They brought her back, you know. And poor Mary, you know, when she got back to the camp, Jesus was in the little hut. He was talking to his mother. And the disciples was bringing Mary up to where Jesus was at. Mary didn't want to go in there because Mary felt so ashamed. Mary felt so bad. I can't face him. I can't go to him, not what I did. But the disciples said, well, Jesus is the one that sent us to come get you, so go. So her mother, Jesus' mother, took Mary, brought her into the little tent that they were in, and Mary just held her head down. She couldn't even look at the Lord. You know, she knew she did wrong. But I love the scene, how they portrayed it, because Jesus looked at her and said, Mary, look at me. And Mary looked at her, and Jesus told Mary this. What makes you think that you will not sin again? Love it. Nailed it on the head. You see, there are so many people out there, you know, when we're claiming to be in love of God, or we're claiming to be Christians, or, you know, we're trying to demonstrate love, many people beat other people up because, you know, once you sin, oh, that's it, you're dirty, you're filthy, whatever, you can't be restored. Well, folks, that's not generating, or I guess you could say generating true love. And I love that scene, how it put it, because I used that because, again, point on, because I guarantee Jesus knows each and every one of us. He knew we are not going to be perfect. One day we will be, but right now while we are here on this planet, folks, none of us has got it together. None of us will have it perfect, and none of us will get it right. We're going to make mistakes, but because of God's gracious love for us, he overlooks those mistakes. And see, that's why I talked to y'all last week about no greater love. That was the topic of the sermon last week. And in that message, I was talking to you about God's love for us. And this message, you know, when I was spoken to y'all last week, that was a message because, again, the message you are now hearing is the messages I am already preaching at the church that I am a pastor at. So instead of trying to work on two messages a week, which was a bit overwhelming because I do have responsibilities, I do not have a church to attend to, and I have many other work that's on my back. So it was getting very difficult to start writing two separate messages, one for the chat and then the one for the church. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to focus on the ones for the church, and when I get done with them, those will be the messages y'all going to hear. Or if I got one that I preach to y'all, it's going to be the one the church is going to hear, vice versa, either way. So in that message, I spoken to at the church about no greater love and how God's love was for us. When I preached that message that Sunday, I was thinking as I was cutting grass, you know, okay, what do I speak on next Sunday? Because I'm constantly thinking ahead. But something was telling me, well, Jim, you gave them a little small portion of what God's love was, but, you know, son, I think you should have went a little further with it. And this is where this message came in. So because of that message last week, No Greater Love, this message stemmed off of that message. So this one, I'm going to go a little bit further on what love is and how we should apply it to our lives if we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ. So when I was preparing this message, I asked myself this question. What is love in the Bible? What is love in the Bible? I think we all got a general idea of what we think love is. We use that word a lot. But do we truly know, I mean, 100% with certainty what real love in the Bible really is? And yes, I gave y'all some insights on God's love in that last message. But like I said, we are going to go a little bit deeper what love really is to us. And the reason why I'm speaking of this is because, see, I'm recalling something in my life when I first came to Christ a long time ago. You know, I'm a little bit older, a little bit grayer, lost some hair on top. My wife kind of messes with me a lot. You know, yeah, you used to have a full set of hair, but now it's starting to disappear. But I remember when I told those folks in church, I'm never going to know what love is. I don't know what love is. I'm not going to understand love. How can I know love? In fact, how can God even love me for what I am? And my pastor used to tell me, Jim, you know, you're talking past tense. That what you were is no longer. But give it time. Yes, you will fail. But God loves you, and he's there for you, and he never will step away. So, but in that message last week, and thinking of this message for this week, which is already pre-written, I had to ask myself, you know, what his love really is to us. What it boils down to is this. The kind of love that God loves us with is what we call, or what the Bible refers to as, are you ready for this? What the Bible refers to as unconditional love. You see, folks, that's why I'm going further with this on God's love, what his love really is. Unconditional. Now, you may be thinking, well, no, Jim, I kind of don't buy that. No, folks, let me set you straight. God's love for you has no conditions, none, no rules, no set places, no that you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, there is no condition in his love, none. If you got your Bibles with you, our dear friend Lisa, she will post a scripture for you to read. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Start them at verse 4, and look what it starts off with. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and last but not least, my friend, love never fails. Get that? His love never fails. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you today and thank you again for allowing us to gather together. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving us the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to keep pressing on. Father, you know it's a battle. It was something I said in last night's Bible study, that you foreknew us long before we were even born. You knew us even before we were formed in our mother's womb. You knew what we was going to do. You knew what the things was going to say. You knew how we was going to act. You knew how we was going to make mistakes. You knew everything about us before we even knew ourselves. And yet, because of your love, you still love us. And Father, there are times I still can't comprehend that kind of love. Wonderful. I take it for granted sometimes. I really do. I'm not going to lie to you, Father, because you know my thoughts anyway. But I thank you for loving me for what I am and not condemning me for what I've done. I thank you for these fine folks here tonight. There are others who did not show up here for whatever reason it may be. Again, you deal with them in your own way. Again, you know, I'm not going to say nothing about it, but, you know, they got other things they decided to do. And Father, thank you again for drawing one of our dear sisters back to us. Look, I know she knows just as much as we do. She's been dealing with a lot of things in her life, too. And you know that. But see, again, here we are. We knowing how you still love her. You're never going to stop loving her. You're never going to stop loving none of us. But you're going to be with her, and you drew her back. Thank you for putting your hand on her. And letting her know, child, it's okay. I'm still here. Father, we ask you to bless those who are here tonight, and those who are not here tonight, be with them again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all seen the bot? It flashes every hour. Of course, I was a little late with the bot. I guess y'all were probably wondering, I ain't seen no messages in the room, you know, Tuesday night and Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm wondering, is Brother Jim going to actually have a sermon? Well, folks, yeah, I've been very busy. I'm sorry. But, you know, the church is starting to really take in a lot of my time. So, you know, I had a lot on my plate. You know, I had to take a day off with my wife Tuesday. Then Wednesday, had to go up to church, prepare for a new startup series of our new discipleship training. And then driving home here Thursday and then trying to do all this Thursday. I just ain't had no time for myself. I'm a little bit worn out. But the title of this message, again, is stemming off of last week's message called Love Never Fails. Just as it said in the beginning of verse 8, love never fails. Now, after careful consideration, when you really think about it, if there's any one word in the English language that we have distorted, messed up, chopped up, whatever you want to call it, believe it or not, it's the word love. We really chopped that word up. The world basically itself chopped up the word love. Here's some examples, and I think you can relate to this. We often say that we love fried chicken. We love chocolate cake. We love scrambled eggs and sausage and so on. And besides, folks, yes, I do love fried chicken. I do love cake and I do love scrambled eggs, you know. But we even say that we love this movie, this TV show. Or I love that car. Or I love these brand of shoes. And let me tell you something, my wife, she loves a lot of shoes. Oh, I love that clothing. You see where I'm going with this? We can go on and on and on by using the word love. I think you may be getting the idea. Your online listeners, if you listen to this, please listen to this sermon all the way through. I encourage you to do so because it may help you understand some things. But folks, we have often used the word love to describe our feelings about favorite things. The real meaning of love, really, my friends, is about our strong feelings about others with whom we have a relationship. Now, y'all know us Southern Cajun Hicks down here, you know, we have a tendency to say, yes, dear, I love you, dear, you know, God bless you, dear, oh, I love you, take care of yourself, see you later, you know, And, you know, some people will think, do y'all got something going on? Well, but no, folks, that's just the way we talk, okay? But we kind of use that word love to describe how we actually feel about God, too. Hey, I love God. And yes, I do. I love him enough to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice in my life to follow him. It's not easy. It costs. There's a lot of hardships and pains. But to me, my friends, I'm speaking about just me. It's well worth the sacrifice of giving up many things in my life. But we have to understand throughout the Bible, we see that how God emphasizes his love for us. You see that all the way through scriptures, from beginning to end. We always see how God emphasizes us, his love for us. You see, folks, God's love for us really and truly is really beyond our comprehension. We cannot comprehend what his love really is for us. We do not have a clue. The foggiest idea. And although, yes, we fail from time to time. We do. We make mistakes, we fall down, but we get back up. But the good part of this, the good part of this, which I love, listen to this carefully. God never stops loving us. My brothers and sisters, those online listeners, do you hear this? God never stops loving us. Never. The kind of love that God loves us with is what the Bible refers to as unconditional word. But I'm going further with this because did you know that the Greek word for this kind of love is called agape love. A-G-A-P-E. That's the Greek meaning. And when we think about the idea of the unconditional love, it makes me wonder, how could that love be a unconditional love? Or better yet, how could God love me that much for what I was or the things that I have done? How can God love me? And no one can argue and say that God does not love us unconditionally. No one can argue on that. There are times when our attempts to be loving in an unconditional way are limited. This is why we are always in need of God's help. We always need his help. Always. We need his help to be loving as God is loving. Do you get this? We cannot love like God loves us. So therefore, we need God's help for us to love like God. Because we forget about God's unconditional love for us, our love begins to become love that has strings attached. And most people, when they try to love you, or you try to love others, or human has tried to love each other, usually there's always some strings attached to that. Folks, let me tell you something right now. Without godly love, folks, we are nothing. We are nothing without godly love. Listen to this story. A young man wrote his sweetheart a love letter. "Dear Jennifer, I love you so much, I climbed the highest mountain just to see your smile. I swim the deepest river infested with piranhas just for one of your kisses. I cross the wildest sea just for one of your hugs. I cross the burning desert just to look upon your face with never-ending love, Frank. P.S. I'll be over to see you next Wednesday if it doesn't rain. My brothers and sisters, that was supposed to be a joke, you know, but I guess no one's laughing. But anyway, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the first point of this message is what I'm trying to get at. Love for us is unconditional. God's unconditional love is not just based on our performance. God loves the prodigal sons just as he loves the elder brothers. And I read this story, you know, when trying to find the illustration for this on the internet to make my point here. And this is a story about a young lady whose parents changed the way they related to their daughter when she became pregnant out of wedlock. Unfortunately, the change was not for the better. Their love became conditional. The teenage girl needed her parents when she got pregnant more than ever. And yet, they were ashamed of her. In some ways, they disowned her. Even the members of her church family responded to her differently. My point here, God's love remained unchanged. Unlike her parents, God's unconditional love did not have limits. And even though we make mistakes in our lives, God does not stop loving us. God loves us in spite of all of our mistakes. And when we make mistakes, God does not cease to love us. The parable of the prodigal son reveals how great God's love is for us. God loves people even when they do not respond to his love. See, a man went down to the river for a time of quiet meditation one morning. And during his meditation, he noticed that the river was rising as well as a scorpion that was trapped in the roots of a tree. He tried to release the scorpion with every attempt. It drew back its tail, ready to strike. The observer, not too far from the man, said, "Don't you know that it is within the scorpion's nature to sting?" And the man responded to him, and he said, "Indeed, it may be his nature to sting, but it is my nature, out of love, to save." He went on to say, "I must change my nature because the scorpion does not change his." You get this? It's for us to change our nature because the other person will not change. Folks, it is God's nature to love even if his love is rejected. That's God's nature. See, my dear friends, again, without godly love, we are nothing. Without godly love, we are nothing. The second point of this message is, and this is going to be a shocker, our love for others should be unconditional. Woo! Man! Golly, Jumbo, you're really hitting it, man, ain't you? Whoa! Brother, apparently you don't know the type of people I'm dealing with. You apparently don't know the job that I have. You apparently don't know some of those people in my family, man. And now you're trying to tell me that my love for others should be unconditional? Yes. Yes. Whew. Wow. Folks, God wants us to be walking illustrations of His unconditional love. This is the kind of love that makes, you ready for this? This is the kind of love that makes change possible. Let that soak in. God wants us to love others without setting limits. And yes, there are times when people set limits to as how loving they will be by keeping score of the wrongs. Listen to this story carefully. There was a lady who was married to a famous author. Her husband's reputation as a gifted writer began to grow. His wife began to degrade him in both public and private. She had aspired herself to be a writer, but was not successful in getting anything printed. After 38 years of marriage, Thomas Hardy's wife, Emma, died. Following her death, Thomas found a notebook that Emma kept. He opened it, and he found the title, What I Thought of My Husband. And in that book, she kept a record of all her grievances across the span of the 38 years of marriage. He was so appalled, he found her record so shocking, he threw that book into the fire. But when I read that story, I thought, one cannot help to wonder if her death might have been untimely due to her bitter spirit. One cannot help but to wonder if Emma would have loved Thomas unconditionally, she too might have become a successful writer. Now picture this. Imagine how you would feel if your spouse or friends or loved ones kept a record of all the things that you and I did not like about ourselves or what they did not like. Just imagine that. Just imagine they kept a record of all the wrong things that he or she did not like about us. And then you discovered that after they had passed away. Can you begin to imagine how that might make you feel? Wow. God wants us to be better and not bitter. God wants us to be better and not bitter. When our love is conditional and keeps scores of the wrongs, it will make us bitter. There are some folks I deal with in this internet room right here. They're not here. If they listen to the message, I'm not naming names, but I know who they are. They are still bitter in life. Because what they're trying to do, they're trying to love like Jesus, but they're setting limits on it. It's not unconditional. So therefore, they're not changing. And the reason why it makes us bitter, because it makes us a slave to our inability to be forgiving. You see, again, When that love becomes conditional and keeps scores of all the wrongs, it makes them bitter, and it makes them bitter, and it makes them a slave to their inability to be forgiving. Tall order. So when we love unconditionally, as I recently learned within the last 3 years, yes, I have, it's speaking about me. Lisa was surprised about a thing that we had to talk with about one person in the room, and she kind of like made a comment, "Wow, Jim, you really have changed." I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, but I'm learning to love unconditional. And when we love unconditionally, it makes us better people. Let me repeat this. When we love unconditionally, it makes us better people. It makes us better people because we don't carry baggage from one grievance to another. Unconditional love is rooted in the fact that we can forgive others because God has forgiven and forgave us. Without godly love, we are nothing. We are nothing. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Unconditional love does not fail because it goes the distance. The character of God's love is not only unconditional, but also compelling. And here's a good illustration to this. A story about this mother whose love went the distance for her child. The mother in the story went out to help during the harvest time. She took her child with her. And she is following the custom of the harvest time in Scotland, where the women would help. And she placed the child within reach. But as everyone got busy, an eagle came by and snatched up the baby in order to make the baby a meal for her eaglets. The eagle took the baby all the way back to his nest. Many of the men in that little community, they made a valiant effort to climb the top of that mountain, the vertical wall of that mountain. I mean, it was a very steep climb. There was even a sailor who then succeeded to ascend all the way to the top of the cliff, but to no avail to get to the baby. And finally, out of the love, out of Mother Hannah's love for that child, herself began the same endeavor against all impossible odds. She succeeded in getting to the top of that cliff. She got her child while the eagle was trying to beat Hannah back. But the eagle's efforts was not as strong as the mother's desire. And when everything else failed, it was her love that found a way to rescue her child. And then the crowd stared in awe as she came back down almost as easily she went up. And they begin to cheer and rejoice with her. Do you get this? This is how God loves us. God's love is with us. God's unconditional love will go the distance to save those who are lost. God's love could not be more persuasive in saving the lost if it was not unconditional love. So what do we get out of this message? What can we take home? You're sitting at home or whatever, but I think you're getting what I'm trying to say. What can you take out of this message? What can you get out of it? Two things. Most important of all things, please take this. My friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. How do we know this? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says so. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And Jesus also said this in John chapter 13, verse 35. And this is the one I love the most. A new command I give you, love one another. As I loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciple. Or as the ESV says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. See, that's very important. If you have love for one another. Wow. Without godly love, we are nothing. Without godly love, we are nothing. Start to learn to demonstrate love with no strings attached. And my friends, I'm telling you, as hard as it may be, it will change you profoundly. It will make you a better person. Learn to love like God loved us. Amen. Let's pray.